So this is one of the healthiest churches I visit when I travel around the world, because you really balance, most importantly, you're very relational. It's all about people. But I love the fact that you love the Word of God, but also the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times you have a lot of evangelical churches, but they're somewhat against the gifts of the Spirit. And then you have a lot of charismaniacs who are just all about the Spirit, but they're not into the Word. And so thank you for leading the way with such balance. I want to introduce one of our apostles. He's a significant leader, and I put him on a global level. His church is a small church of 35,000 members. He's based in Miami. He just built a $65 million building they paid for in cash. And he calls himself Bishop Toussaint, but I call him, he's a spiritual son. So I'd like to have Greg Toussaint stand up. Why don't you stand, Greg? JR, his assistant. And so amazing. He should be up here preaching, and I should be listening to him. But he's coming with me on my next segment of the trip and to help me minister. And so it's such an honor to be here. You guys are amazing. I had a chance to meet with your leaders yesterday, and it was just, I think I received more than I gave out. And there, you have amazing leaders. I want to highlight a book, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because I want to talk about fire evangelism. This is about, really, prophetic evangelism, hearing from the Holy Spirit in evangelism, power evangelism, being led by the Lord. Now, this came out 15 years ago called Spirit-Led Evangelism, but since then, there's so much that has happened. I've learned about the apostolic ministry. I learned so much in church planting that I incorporate a lot of things in here that I did not have in the first edition of the book. So this just came out, and I'm just going to give this to my friend, Pastor Greg. Bishop Greg, I'm going to give this to you. And so, fresh off the press. It just came out this month, August the 2nd. So the books are out there. I'd love to meet you and sign for you. And when I sign, I like to ask God to give me a prophetic verse for you, just to bless you. I'll do that too, Bishop. I'll sign and give you a verse afterwards. But I want to talk about praying without ceasing. I want to talk about praying in the Spirit. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Now, I want to confess to you that I feel, as a believer, I've been now walking with Jesus 52 years, I've had an average or mediocre prayer life. But I was surrounded by world-class intercessors, including my wife, who's an amazing intercessor. She's the number one prophet in my life. We call her Mama Sue, and in our church. And by the way, people started calling me Papa Che around 12, 13 years ago. And initially, as I traveled around the world, it wasn't just in one location, it was around the world. And I didn't like it because it made me sound old. But then the Lord reminded me, you are a grandfather. Because at that time, my grandson was around 2 years old. He's 14 now. And I just said, wow. And I began to realize he's doing something in the spirit realm. He's raising up spiritual fathers and mothers to mentor the next generation of revivalists. I've been privileged to be part of 4 major waves of revival. I got saved in the Jesus People movement. And then my pastor was a Catholic charismatic. And so he introduced me to the whole charismatic renewal. And it was so cool meeting these cardinals and bishops that spoke in tongues. And it was an amazing time because the charismatic movement hit every single denomination. It officially began in 1958 before the Jesus People movement. And Jesus People movement was 1967. And then I became a vineyard pastor. I met John Wimber at Fuller Seminary. And he led a movement that Peter Widener called the Third Wave. It began on Mother's Day, 1980. And the Spirit of God fell upon a Calvary Chapel church, and they became charismatic. I mean, Calvary started out charismatic, but they became a little bit more routinized. And then the Spirit of God visited again, and they asked John Wimber to leave. And he started his own vineyard network of churches, and I was a vineyard pastor until John Wimber asked me to leave after 1 year, because we started having revival services 5 nights a week. But they were so controversial that in 1995, John graciously was he had Lou Engel meet at the Anaheim Vineyard office, and they said, listen, we want you to stay, but you have to stop the nightly meetings. We're having 5 nights a week, protracted meetings. And we ended up having it for 3 years, from 1995 to 1998. But he said, my opinion is you should have them, but not as a vineyard. And we felt the same thing. And so they laid hands on us, the leaders, and Bob Fulton and others, and we were sent out. And I'm walking out of the office, and I said to Lou, I think that was the nicest left foot of fellowship in the history of the church, because they kicked us out, but it was so nice. They loved on us, and they blessed us as we started our... And I'm so glad, because right after that, I get a prophetic word from Cindy Jacobs to start our own network. And have to be honest with you, I've grown a lot, but back in those days, I was so insecure. I thought, who's going to follow a Korean pastor in America? You know, even though I had a multicultural church, majority of them being white, but to lead a network is a different thing. It's going to a whole different level. And so it took me a year to process that prophetic word from Cindy Jacobs. So in 1996, we started Harvest International Ministry with a handful of churches. And by God's grace, we're now in 73 nations. In 2008, we stopped counting at 25,000 churches, because Peter Wagner was on the board. He wanted me to count. He's a church growth professor. And we stopped counting at 25,000. Now, again, we didn't plant these churches, but we raised up people like Greg Toussaint, who's just blowing up, and other apostles from around the world. And so this is something that God's doing. We're living, I want to say this, we're living the most exciting time in church history. And you may not feel it, but I just want to just say I've had the privilege of ministering in 94 nations. Again, it's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration, because we're in 73 countries as a ministry. So we're seeing amazing things happen. And part of it is some of the things that I think we just let it go over our head, but it's very, very significant. For example, Roe v. Wade was overturned on June 24th, 2024. Now, that's huge, because after legalizing abortion in 1973, January 20th, 65 million babies have been slaughtered in America since 1973. And so to have the landmark case, the Dobbs decision to overturn that, it's very, very significant. It's a sign of revival and reformation. And then I'm going to be bold. President Trump winning the election is a sign of revival and reformation. One of the first things he said was that there's only two genders, male and female. Now, that sounds so obvious, common sense, but in America, it was reactionary, revolutionary, and it's reformation, because everyone thinks justice is the LGBTQ position. They call it social justice, but it's not biblical justice. Biblical justice is lining up with God's word and his truth. And how many know, Facebook, if you want to go on Facebook, there are 57 genders to pick. But God says there's only two, male and female. Can I hear an amen? Am I speaking to the right group here in Solomon's Porch in Hong Kong? All right. So anyway, we're in this. And then the call for me to run for governor. And it was like out of the blue, was not on my radar. Look, I love my job as a pastor. It's not even a job, it's a service. I love leading Harvest International Ministry. I'm having the time of my life. I have my own business. It's very successful. We make more money with my own LLC that started in 2010 than all the ministry money. In fact, I give my salary back to the church three times over, and I've done this for over 15 years, and because I'm financially independent. So I love what I'm doing. God so blessed me. And so when I got called on April 28th at 2:30 in the morning, and I didn't have a dream, I didn't hear a voice, I didn't hear the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit, I didn't have a visitation from Jesus, the Lord woke me up with this incredible heavy presence on my chest. It wasn't a heart attack. It was the kavod, the Hebrew word for glory, kavod of God, coming upon me in my presence. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how to hear the voice of God, but I know the voice of the Lord. By the way, this is not something special for apostles or prophets. The Bible says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. How many of you are God's sheep here? All right? You could all hear the voice of God. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to give an invitation for you to become born again and give your life so you can hear from God. It's just basic Christianity. God is constantly speaking. One theologian said he's constantly speaking. Unfortunately, we're not listening. We're too distracted. And we're not hearing. And he speaks to us in multiple ways. And I'll talk about that. But this is absolutely crucial when it comes to prayer. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows the will and mind of God, and he prays according to God's will, the Spirit. And so we want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible talks about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I love 1 Thessalonians because Paul only spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica compared to 3 years in Ephesus. And yet, this church is so mature for such a short... All he does is just affirm them. There's no real correction. He just affirms their faith, their love. And they were having a profound impact on the body of Christ at that time. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're familiar with this passage. And a lot of times we quote this personally when we're going through hard challenges, because it says, I'm going to quote it as I'm turning. It says, rejoice always, verse 16. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now that's very profound. He means that you're to be constantly praying. Pray without ceasing. So I'm going to share what that looks like and how we can fulfill that. By the way, these are all commands. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not for everything, but in everything. You don't thank God for cancer, no. But in the midst of fighting cancer, he wants you to have that faith. And one of the ways we move in faith is thanksgiving is the language of faith. I wish I had time to go into that, but I don't really have time. But and then it says here, do not quench the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a key to doing all three of these things. The Holy Spirit will help us to pray. It's rejoice, it's the joy of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's Galatians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's different from happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances. If you get a raise, you're happy. If you lose your job, you're sad. You're discouraged. But God says in the midst of you losing your job, you can still have joy through the Holy Spirit. And it's a key for us to come against the oppressor. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways he comes with us is with a spirit of heaviness. I feel right now, and I picked this up since COVID, since 2020, there's been a real spirit of oppression, depression, and anxiety on the body of Christ everywhere I go. And that's just not of God. You know, he wants us to have the joy overflowing. He wants us to have the peace that passes all comprehension. Can I hear an amen? Are you awake this afternoon? All right. All right, so I know this is one of the worst times to preach because you just had a nice brunch and here you are at service in the afternoon and you're ready to have your nap. I can't wait till you leave here for your nap, but I want you to stay with me, all right? Because I believe this word will change your life, because I'm going to help you how to have a breakthrough in prayer. What I've seen in 52 years of just incredible, God gets all the glory because it's his initiative. It's what he has taught me. So I have an average prayer life, but I've been taught by world-class intercessors like Lou Engle. He's the only person, he's white, he's not Korean, he's not Chinese, but he's the only person I know who's gone on 7 40-day water fast. He's just finished his 7th at Passover this year. You know, and in Korea, there's a number of them. You know, before they begin their ministry, they go on a 40-day water fast. I've gone on 2 40-day juice fast, not water fast. I'm somewhat of a wimp. Again, it's the average prayer life. You know, my wife has gone on a 40-day water fast. We've had a number of people. His spiritual son, Mondo, who's African-American, has gone on 2 40-day water fasts. He's one of our pastors. He's the founder of Hope California, amazing ministry in Los Angeles. We just rented the L.A. Coliseum, where USC plays football. And we're planning for April the 11th, which is the 120th anniversary of Azusa Street. The Azusa Street Revival broke out April the 9th, 1906. So 2026, we rented the Coliseum out, and we're bringing this incredible 45-year-old Nathan Morris evangelist. He's the heir apparent to Reinhard Bonnke. He just preached to 2 million in the last year and a half. He's blowing up countries like Nicaragua, El Salvador, Cuba, and he preaches with a translator in Spanish. But the reason why people are coming out is because of the signs and wonders, the miracles are happening. And one of the most famous miracles happened in the United States. One of our top worship leaders was in a car accident, and she was in a wheelchair for 15 years. And he called her out, and she got out of the wheelchair. It went viral. It was on the 700 Club. It's been on the media and all that. And because God told him he was going to have a noticeable miracle before he begins his evangelistic ministry. So he's filling up stadiums. And like I said, even when he preached in a communist country, Nicaragua, he had 250,000 show up in Managua at the main plaza, 275,000 the next night. And so we're seeing great things happening globally right now. And so I want to encourage you to be encouraged that you may not be seeing a tremendous move here in Hong Kong, but I want to beg to differ. There is a move of God taking place in Hong Kong, but especially in mainland China. Revival is breaking out. And so anyway, getting back to this passage on prayer. The key is the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. God knows that. He knows we're weak. But he expects us to pray without ceasing. This is not just not an isolated verse. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Not Ephesians 4, Ephesians 6. The famous passage on spiritual warfare. Verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And it goes into talking about putting the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, girding your loins with truth, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But look at in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. So he's saying, pray always. Pray without ceasing. But the key is pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Commune with the Holy Spirit. Be intimate with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the evangelical church has dumbed down the Holy Spirit. Our Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. We don't even host the Holy Spirit in our personal lives or in the local church. Now, this is different, but I'm just talking about in the body of Christ overall. We're just talking about a major leader in the body of Christ. He was just very, very critical of our church because we had revival services. I'm talking about revival service with the Holy Spirit coming in power. And he called this strange fire conferences. And so we love him. He's our brother. We don't come back in any bitterness or attack. We know that he loves the Lord, and actually, you know, we're just part of one big family. But unfortunately, bad theology has crippled a good portion of the church. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why does God visit certain places and not others? Why Moriah Chapel in 1904 with Evan Roberts, called the Welsh Revival? By the way, I've been in that building. That building would be maybe the first five rows would make up the church. That's how small it is. There was a church right next to it, pastored by a prominent evangelical leader, biblical scholar named Peter Price. was the mega church of that time, which was 1,000 members. But back in those days, 1903, that was 1904, was huge. It didn't visit that church. In fact, he called what was happening with Evan Roberts a counterfeit revival. And he grieved the Holy Spirit. So in the midst of all this, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is the key to praying without ceasing. It's the key to rejoicing always. It's the key to giving thanks in the midst of your challenges. The sign that you are a child of God is being led by the Holy Spirit. The scripture for that is Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. So how's the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you? In order for him to do that, you've got to be full of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 16. I love this passage, and I love the Gospel of John because John just talks about the Holy Spirit all the time. Like, for example, one of the keys to having more of the Holy Spirit is thirsting for the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water. He was talking about the Spirit, which was not given because he had not been glorified. He was prophesying before he went to the cross, before he rose from the dead, ascended, and poured out his Spirit. But he was prophesying, if you're thirsty, come and drink, and you will receive the river of the Holy Spirit flowing within you. That river is prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 47, that there's a trickle of water coming from the temple and then grows into ankle-deep water and then knee-deep water. And then it's such a river, you can't even swim across it. You've lost control. And that river goes to the Dead Sea, and everything dead becomes alive. What is he talking about in Ezekiel chapter 47? It is a metaphor for you. You're the temple of the... There is no natural river that goes to the temple to the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows around Jerusalem, goes from all the way from Mount Hermon to the Sea of Galilee, comes down, and then goes into the Dead Sea. It goes around Jerusalem, so there's no river at the temple in the Jerusalem. It is a metaphor of the Holy Spirit because the Bible says... and it's prophesying to our period now. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit of God dwells within you. And so he wants that trickle to become a river. He wants the Holy Spirit to possess you, in other words. Not just a, well, we had a nice, good meeting. You know, we had worship. God showed up. I cried. Nothing wrong with that. But we say in our church, the presence of God is not just the icing on the cake, having a good service. It is the cake. It's the whole deal. He is God. How many know the Holy Spirit's not an it? How many know the Holy Spirit is God? And you see him from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. And then God says, let there be light, and there was light. He's eternal. What distinguishes you from God is that you and I had a beginning. But in the beginning, God. God is eternal. He's uncreated. Now think about that for the next million years. You won't be able to figure that out. You and I had a beginning, but he never had a beginning. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit has been so dumbed down. And yet he's the greatest gift. So in John 16, he says this in verse 7. Are you with me in John 16? This is not in, I wish maybe we could shoot it up if you have the scripture handy. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And in the Greek, it's amen and amen. Whenever he says something really important, and the old King James will be truly, truly. But it's really the Greek word is amen and amen. And why Jesus is saying that? Because obviously he is the truth. He's going to speak the truth. But what he's trying to say is that this is very important truth. Very important. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is God. Am I in the right group? How many believe that Jesus is God? Okay. God came and became flesh. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, Nathan the prophet prophesied to David, out of your loins is going to come a king, and he's going to establish his kingdom and rule forever. So 1,000 years they're praying, God send the Messiah, the anointed one. Messiah, Mashiach, means anointed one. And by the way, if you go to Israel today, let me ask, how many of you have never been to Israel? Raise your hand. I want to just say, oh my goodness, look, save up your money. Pastor Sam lead a tour group that they need to go to Israel at least one time. The Bible will become alive. You need to go because, you know, just even given the geography of where Mount Hermon's located and where the Jordan River flows, and I'll come back to that because that's where Caesarea Philippi is located. And in that city, there's a famous natural rock with a cave inside it called the Gates of Hell. Jesus takes his disciples 3 days walking journey to speak about the gates of hell in Matthew chapter 16, 18, and 19. But anyway, coming to this passage here, he says, you're going to be better off. Now, keep this in mind, that they're with Jesus for 3.5 years. He's God. Can you imagine being with Jesus? How many of you have seen The Chosen? Any of you seen The Chosen? Just imagine you're one of the disciples who are just hanging out with Jesus for every day for 3 years. Wow. You could ask any question and you know God's going to give you the answer, right? Amazing. Except for one answer, not the day or the hour I'm coming. Only the Father knows that. But everything else, I'll answer your question. They see his example, his life. And by the way, Jesus came for three purposes. Number one, he came to die for your sins. Number two, to reveal the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14, verse 9. But he came to set an example for you and me. We're to follow him. That's why Paul says, imitate me as I follow Jesus. Follow me as I follow Jesus. In fact, God has predestined you, Romans 8, 29, to be conformed into the image of Jesus. He has committed to you to become. If you're going through a hard time, he's conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. I was just sharing with Madam Rachel that the first 10 years in California were the worst 10 years of my life, from 1984 to 1994. But in many ways, it was the best years of my life. I thank God for it. I shared in the first service how 92 was like the perfect storm. It was the worst of the worst, 92 and 93. You know, you have to get the message. I'm not going to go into that, but it was like, you know, and but why do I say it was the best years? Because it was preparation. He's so in love with you. He's so committed to you being Christ-like. He'll do whatever it takes to humble you. That's why Jesus said, through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom. That's why Paul says, I exalt in my tribulation in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, character. He's after Christ-like character, character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So if you're going through a difficult time, rejoice in everything. Give thanks because he is so committed to making you like him. Now, the more you rejoice and you give thanks in that situation and yield yourself into God's purposes, so quickly you will pass the test. He never fails you, but you just have to take the test again. It's like in the wilderness, they just had to go around the mountain over and over again. In their situation, they did fail because that generation couldn't enter in, the second generation. But for us as believers, he's committed to you. He who began a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so he loves you. But he says, you're going to be better off if I leave you. And they're just scratching their head. Why do you keep saying this? We don't get it. We waited 1,000 years for you to be here and you're just leaving us? And we're going to be better off if you're gone? You're God. How can we be better off? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is the greatest gift God's given to us next to salvation. He's going to lead you. Look what he's going to do. Look, drop down to verse 13. However, when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. How many of you want to be in truth? You don't want fake news, lies, and all the other garbage. You know, in our nation, we had 2 years of Russian collusion. It just came out that was all lies by the highest level of government, people that we would trust. And then you see media involved. I can't watch the news anymore. It's just lies. You know what they said about me when I sued Governor Newsom? NBC Today Show did an expose on me. They called me a selfish pastor who's killing his people because I opened up the church during COVID. We didn't have one outbreak of COVID in our church by the grace of God. Because, you know, the press would have been all over us like white on rice. You know, they would use us, see, you opened up and look at the outbreak. God protected us as we were suing Governor Newsom. People got it, but they got it at work or somewhere else, but never from a service. Why? Because we mitigated. We're not stupid. We told people who are high-risk people, stay home, watch online. We have social distancing. We told people they could wear a mask or take it off if they want to in worship. We asked people if they wanted to get their temperatures taken. If they didn't, we didn't force it. Because we wanted the balance of mitigation, but freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. God's a God of freedom. We want people to make their own. We're adults. We're not kids. But they treated us like kindergarten students. And they say, you got locked down. The restaurant, we had 18,000 businesses were lost in California. Many of our church members lost their business. It was so unnecessary. One of my spiritual sons is a high-end hair salonist for A-list actors in Hollywood. He does the Academy Award. He does the Emmy Award, ESPY Awards, as well as all the top awards he does, not only for the A-list actors, but for their crew. He makes so much money and they shot it down. You can't even, he said, can we put plexiglasses? We'll have social distancing. We'll wear masks. And he appealed to them because we're talking about millions of dollars just being thrown down the drain with the lockdown. They said no. And then we see Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done at a salon. We see our Governor Newsom eating at French Laundry when all the other restaurants are going out of business. We have one out of four businesses, one out of four restaurants overall in America that lost because of lockdown. Instead of trusting us. And the thing that was crazy is that the scientists lied to us. The vaccine was dangerous for those who are young adults. I mean, the more people died of heart attacks that age than they did of COVID. And so anyway, we're in a time, there's no truth. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into truth. And primarily, it's based on the Word of God. He's going to give you a biblical worldview. He's going to give you revelation. It's the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And then he goes on to say this. He would not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. I love this about God. God, the triune being, we see them submitting to one another. We see Jesus, He's God, but He does nothing unless He first saw the Father do. John 5:19. Jesus said, He said, I don't speak from my own authority. This is John 12, I believe it's 49. I don't speak out of my own authority, but the Father who sent me, He commands me what to say and how to say it. I mean, He's God. He could just be independent, just say His own thing. But He says, no, I'm going to hear what the Father wants me to say. And then He says, now the Holy Spirit's not going to be speaking from His own authority. He's going to hear from me. I'm going to tell Him what to tell you. So it's not like I'm gone. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But it's through the Holy Spirit. I believe the reason why God visits certain places and not others was that there are certain places that are hungry for the Holy Spirit. Evan Roberts, you read about his life, he went to church he went to the building, Moriah Chapel, every day. He would come home from work in the mines, take a shower, which they never took showers back then. They took bath once a week. But he wanted to be clean. He said, I came every day. His pastor told him, you don't have to come every day to pray. He says, I don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to show up. I want to be ready. Amazing devotion. See, the truth is, you're the house of prayer. Mark 11, 16, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I began to learn how to pray when Lou Engle dragged me out of bed, and we had prayer meetings at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning. To this day, we moved it to 5:30 now because the prayer meetings last a long time. It just goes on, so we decided to move it up to 5:30. We've been doing this for 30 years, every year, every week, for 30 years. So when I talk about prayer, it's not just something that, you know, it is the main thing we do. That's why God has blessed HRM. That's why we bought a $28 million building that's worth $45 million now. When we had nothing, in 4.5 months, we raised $13 million. It's through prayer. But each of these things we've seen, even just sharing last night because someone is fighting cancer, we've seen 3 people with stage 4 cancer just get healed recently. I saw someone get raised from the dead for the first time a few months ago. It was another pastor. We're having a press conference outdoors because of the LA fires. And all of a sudden, the pastor was, I spoke first, he spoke second. Our guest speaker was Mel Gibson. So we're talking Mel Gibson at this press conference. 150 people with the press, all the major networks there, local, Los Angeles, not national. And we were talking about the mismanagement of the government. And again, it was just to say that we need to vote differently because this government, so Mary Bass, God bless her heart, as soon as she heard the Santa Ana winds were coming, she took off for Africa, Ghana, to meet with Obama's family instead of being on control as command. It's like having a typhoon warning here in Singapore and your mayor taken off, or in Hong Kong or Singapore or Miami, wherever a hurricane's coming. Your mayor wouldn't go away when there's a Category 4 hurricane coming to Miami. Are you kidding me? You know, the mayor and the governor, they're on duty because the main responsibility of elected officials is to provide protection and safety for her citizens. And so we had a press conference. So as we're standing there, all of a sudden, Bishop Mendez, a pastor, he's a friend of mine, he begins to lean on me. And I thought he was just tired. So I told him, I said, Bishop, go ahead and lean on me. I got you. I just whispered that to him. And then all of a sudden, he collapsed and I caught him. And all these people were seeing this because we're up front. The people are watching this press conference we're having. And someone started to scream and say, call 911. Someone said, get some water, you know. And then someone said, Pastor Che, pray. Now, I was praying. I was praying in tongues. The moment he collapsed on me, it's just a natural response. I'm praying. I'm just praying in the spirit. Now, the thing is that I knew God wanted to raise him from the dead because he gave me a prophetic word. And I'm going to talk about this. We're going to look at John 15, verse 7 in a moment. He gave me a rhema word. Out of nowhere, Romans 8, 11 came into my heart. What does Romans 8, 11 say? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. And he will quicken your mortal body. In other words, the resurrection power is in you through the Holy Spirit. And that will ultimately, at the resurrection, when we all are, that's going to be used to resurrect our bodies. We all go through another resurrection. And so, when I got that verse, I put my hand on his chest and I said, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, Bishop, and I command that body to be quickened now. And the moment I said that, he wakes up and says, I'm okay. And then the ambulance came. But now here's the point. It wasn't verified until later. His testimony is that he encountered Jesus. He died. Jesus told him, your time is not over. Go back. Your work is not done. And he comes back, and that's when he woke up. So he had really died. And I just said, wow, Lord, because I know we're in an extraordinary season. If I'm seeing, I've been walking with the Lord 52 years, never seen the dead raised. I've seen every kind of healing, but not the dead being raised. But here's the key. And this is how we're going to learn how to pray. I want you to turn with me to John 15, verse 7. Just turn the page. We're in John 16. Let's look at verse 5 first. I love this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. How many of you guys want to bear fruit? You want to be fruitful? You want to get your prayers answered? He's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. He's talking about getting your prayers answered in the context. And then he says, for without me you could do nothing. Now this is probably the most important part of that verse. Without me, you could do absolutely nothing. What's he talking about? He said, well, you know, I got up, took a shower, ate breakfast, drank my coffee. I got here to the Solomon's porch on my own. What do you mean I can't do a thing without you? Tomorrow I'm going to go to work like every other Monday morning. What he's saying is, of course, he made you in his image and likeness. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. You could do whatever you want to do. But what he's saying is, apart from me, you could do nothing. Why don't you bring me into, in other words, bring me into your life in everything you do through prayer. Bring the presence of God. I mean, we invite the Holy Spirit to help us in our worship. Why not bring the Holy Spirit to the workplace tomorrow morning? A friend of mine wrote a book called Monday Morning Atheist. It's talking about believers who are very devout. They go to church services on the Lord's Day, but on Monday they don't even bring God into the workplace. You got to understand, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that as soon as he got out of the water being baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in a dove. You guys know the verse I'm talking about. But it said it remained on him. It stayed with them. Again, he was setting an example for you and me. He wants the Holy Spirit to remain on you. But we quench the Spirit. We ignore the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We shut down the Holy Spirit. We quench prophecies. We criticize those who are full of the Holy Spirit or have strange fire conferences. What's my point? The point is that I really believe, just like when you are hosted, you could go to the most expensive restaurant with the best food in the world, but if the service is lousy, you're not going to go back there. It's a ripoff. But if you could go to an average restaurant, but if they know your name, they serve you, they give you extra dessert just because of who you are, just all this favor, you want to go back there. And so as an individual, how are you honoring the Holy Spirit, welcoming the Holy Spirit? He's a person. I wrote a book called Hosting the Holy Spirit. It's out of print now. But I began to study churches that the Spirit of God visited and gave tremendous favor and blessing. And those, you know, they still had church growth and all that, but to us, his presence is everything. Moses said this way in Exodus 33, unless your presence goes with us, we can't go a single further, step further. What's going to distinguish us from everyone else? See, we rely on our brilliance, our marketing, our abilities, our leadership. But Zacharias says this because they were trying to build a temple on their strength. He says, no, it's Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not your might. It's not your brilliance. It's not your power. Of course he made you brilliant. Of course you're made in the image and likeness of God. But what he's saying is, I want you to bring my presence into this. Let him lead you and guide you. In prayer. We pray, but we don't get a lot of breakthrough. And the reason why is that most of prayer is hearing. It's hearing from the Holy Spirit. We're not getting the miracle because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the revelatory word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. So in verse 7 here, so if you drop down to 15:7 now, it says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now this is where Greek helps out. That word is not the typical word in the Greek, which is usually logos for the word word. It's a Greek word rhema, the same word that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So it says, if you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, then whatever you desire, because your desire will become my desire, because I'm speaking to you, you'll be aligned with me, and that's when your prayers get answered. Let me give you an example. As soon as we got married, you know, Sue was the first one to be saved. The rest of her family were lost. They were very successful medical doctors. They were just good Catholics, but they weren't born again. In fact, they didn't really approve of her marrying me because they thought I was a cult leader. Because at that time, there was a guy named Sun Myung Moon, and I was Korean. He thought I was part of the Moonies, you know, part of that church. It sounds crazy. But back in the days, that was back in those days. Then right before that, we had Jim Jones having everyone drink Kool-Aid and killing themselves. So they didn't know who I was because I wasn't Catholic. But what we did was is that we wanted to get to know our family. So Sue came over to my parents' house once a week for dinner, and then I went over to her parents' house once. We all lived in the nation's capital. She lived in the Beverly Hills of Maryland called Potomac, Maryland. I lived in Rockville, Maryland. And you know, every time I would go to her house, honestly, I would pick up demonic oppression. And I'm sensitive to the things of the Spirit, and I just would pick up oppression. And so one week, it was a Thursday, I'll never forget this. I said to Sue, I said, before we go in, let's just spend a little bit more time praying in the car before we go in for dinner. As we're praying, all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, bind the spirit of Mariolatry. Now, I have to be honest, I didn't know what the word meant. I had to go home and look it up in the dictionary. It means the worship of Mary. But we obeyed. I bound the spirit of Mariolatry. And when we walked in, it was like someone had turned on the light. It was just all of a sudden the oppression was gone. It was light. Then I began to notice that she had a, Sue's mom had a, because she was wealthy, her hobby was buying pictures, artistic originals of Mary and putting it in her different rooms in the house in Potomac. She worshiped Mary. So that's on a Thursday. That Saturday, she's invited to a Catholic retreat, not knowing that the priest that is leading it is a charismatic, born-again, spirit-filled priest. That whole weekend, he shares the gospel. Not only does she get saved, but she gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues and comes back on Monday, calls us up and says, now I know what your kids are up to, because I'm one of you now. It all shifted because we got a rhema, a word. Just like I did with Bishop Mendez, I got a word to pray for him. Every miracle I've seen is because of a rhema. To buy our building, Kim Clement prophesied God's going to give you a building called Ambassador. But he didn't know that there was an auditorium called Ambassador Auditorium. And that gave us a word to believe him for the money. To Sue Governor Newsom, I said, God, I need a word. And the Lord gave me Joshua 1:9. It was just jumped off the page as I'm reading it. A lot of times he'll speak from the word. It becomes revelatory. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, because I was freaking out. I mean, suing the most powerful governor in America, because I knew I was going to get backlash. Sure enough, I sued, but that helped me through. I get a letter saying they're going to arrest me for 1 year. They're going to fine us $5 million. They want to bankrupt our church. It's the cancel culture. It's just Marx's playbook. And then they said, we reserve the right to arrest your church members, the last paragraph. From the district attorney, this is not just a frivolous letter. This came from Newsom. And I lost in the lower courts. Elections have consequences. It was an Obama-appointed federal judge. He gave us 15 minutes by Zoom, and he says, your pastor is going to jail. He's not going to overturn it. Then we appealed to the Ninth Circuit, the appeals court, which is the most extreme left because it's in California. And almost 80% of their decisions overturned by the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court hasn't always been conservative, and I lost there. But God gave me a word. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. By the way, you don't pick the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court picks you. And God in his sovereignty and his goodness saw a pastor with his network of churches that had Sue Governor Newsom. They said, let's look at that case. They picked our case. And then on February 5th, 2021, I won 6-3, and I won a $1.3 million cash settlement. Can we thank Jesus for that? Come on. You can't make that up. You cannot make these things up. So what God is saying is, I want you to draw near to me and be intimate with me, because I am speaking. You need to be still. Know that I'm God. You need to know my word. You need to walk with me. Bring me into every aspect of your life. Apart from me, you could do absolutely nothing. And when you start hearing from the Lord, all of a sudden, evangelism becomes fun because you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You see the example of Jesus, the woman in the well. By the way, I didn't even know what time it's supposed to be done. Should I land this plane? Okay, let me land this plane. All right. So how do we get more of the Holy Spirit? Very simple. You got to hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Notice the language. The word baptized in the Holy Spirit is important because baptizo is the Greek word. It's a picture of a sunken ship, totally immersed in water, inside and out. He wants to inundate you with the Holy Spirit. The second thing, and this is important, I'm just going to say, we got to just ask him to fill us. We have not because we ask not. Luke chapter 11 says this, verse 11, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. But the way it reads in the Greek is ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking. And then it says, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we're going to ask God to fill us afresh this afternoon. But third is the most important. It's obedience. It's consecration. Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Look, if I had two cups here for me to pour into, one's clean, one's dirty, which one am I going to pick to pour my water into use? Obviously, the clean one. That's why it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord look throughout the whole earth that he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his. See, I love Jesus. I've loved him since 1973. I love him more today than I think I've ever. And there's no problem with seeing prayers answered, encounters with God, favor God, the blessing of God. And I mean that. I mean, just the fact that my children love Jesus and I have 10 grandkids and half of them have already given their hearts to the Lord, to me, I'm blessed. I can't ask for anything more. But he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. What I'm going to ask you is to make a fresh consecration to Jesus this afternoon. It's Joshua 3:5, consecrate yourself today and tomorrow God's going to do amazing things. He wants you to give everything. He wants you to give up the pornography. You can't change yourself, but if you're full of the Holy Spirit, those who live by the Spirit will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. That's the key to walking in holiness. It's the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Whatever your vice is, whatever is causing you, anger, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is your helper, is your one that's going to give you the
the breakthrough. Let's all stand up. Holy Spirit, come. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. We love your presence, Lord. We love the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They're not from Jerusalem. They're from Galilee. It's like if your pastor said, okay, God told me that there's going to be a visitation, but you have to go to Singapore to receive it. So what the heck are you talking about? We live in Hong Kong. We don't live in Singapore. But that's what happened to the early church. They were radical in their obedience. They were so hungry that they said, okay, we'll stay here. We'll leave our business aside in that Galilee. We'll be in Jerusalem. Like a different part of the world. I'm going to ask you right now if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're so hungry for the Holy Spirit and you want to totally consecrate yourself, I'm going to ask you to come out of your seat, come up to the front and consecrate yourself. Repent of whatever need to be repented of and then totally yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Come on out of your seat. Come on up to the front. Let's come to the altar here. By the way, I'm up here with you. I'm just saying, God, I want more of you. Man looks over the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. He just sees your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In a prayer, and I want you to pray this, and let's all pray this out loud because I think all of us are in the same place. Just say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all my sins, for all my selfishness. It's not about me, it's all about you and your kingdom. I surrender all that I am, all that I have. I confess. Jesus is my Lord. And by your grace, I will obey you. I will follow you. I will trust you no matter what. Fill me with your Spirit. Now, we just ask in faith and just ask God not to fill you. Just go ahead and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just receive the Holy Spirit right now. Ask and you shall receive. God's answering your prayers. I'm going to ask Bishop Greg and me to just come lay hands on you, bless with God's blessing, and just receive more of Him. But make this a daily thing. You know, I pray this every day. As if the moment I wake up, many times I just say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Before I get up to speak, I say, Lord, I need your Spirit. Fill me afresh. Apart from you, can't do nothing. When I drive on the freeways of California, I say, oh, Lord, fill me up, especially the freeways of California. I don't assume I can do it, even though I've been driving for 43 years there. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. What's evil is pride. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. Pride, arrogance, that self-sufficiency, that we think we could do it ourselves. No, apart from you, we could do absolutely nothing. We need you. We're just going to come. You don't have to fall or anything like that, but just receive the blessing. Receive the Holy Spirit as we lay hands on you. And we'll continue to minister here, but I want to give the benediction for those who need to leave. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance and give you the shalom of the Holy Spirit, that peace that passes all comprehension, full of the goodness of God and the absence of all evil. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen. God bless you.
Let it go forth from here to the nations. gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from him to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to seek your face, let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place. As we gather to see.